Bah, humbug. How awful, boring. I'm not interested in the furniture of heaven nor the temperature of hell. My idea of existence after death is much more exciting. The transcendentalists didn't look to their Bibles the way other Christians did. They were not content to say that the Bible said everything that ever needed to be said. There had to be more. This idea that revelation is not sealed is not new. Nearly 200 years ago, the transcendentalists challenged the then nearly total authority of the Bible as the total revelation of God. They said that the fundamental internal revelation of God was to the soul, that is, to an individual's deepest core, and also that that individual revelation was supplemented by a secondary external source, primarily the church. And these internal and external sources of revelation foster the process of spiritual growth. That was and that is the essence of the religious life. Let's look at this old word revelation and determine where we come down, what we want to say about it. The dictionary says a revealed religion is one chiefly based on the revelations of God to men and women. Buren's claims that we Unitarians hold that there is more that will be shown to us than has so far been shown. More what? More stuff about religion? Yes, about religion. About that which reconnects us to our real roots, to how we got to be alive, how we are to use that gift, about birth before birth, about death and after death, what our purpose here and now is. More stuff would be revealed, unveiled, made clear. Whether you believe that or not, most everyone here would probably agree that no religion has all the answers. Buren claims that one of our strengths is that we do not claim to have all the answers. Well, clearly that's true. We don't claim to have all the answers. The question is that a strength? Is not knowing good for us or useful or both? And if we say with confidence and assurity, yes, does that mean that it's a detriment for those religions that do claim to know all the answers? But if we believe our path will take us farther in the long run, and religion must aim for the long run, if we believe our path will take us farther, then why don't we tell others? Why don't we bravely go and shout it to the world? Revelation is not sealed. Don't stop looking. Don't stop with Christianity. Nice as it is, don't stop with ancient religions. Yes, they have truth, but not all of it. Yes, they suggest good practices to deepen your lives, but they may be in need of improvement after all these years since they were first conceived. Yes, science is wide, solid, well-paved superhighway and is trustworthy as far as it goes. But science would be the first to tell you that it has a long way to go. We need to be as honest and clear as science. We don't know the answers to the big questions about living and having to die, about creation and its twin destruction. Are we an ancient accident or intended? And if we're intended, for what? And how should we live until we know more? The essence of the religious life, claimed the transcendentalists, is the process of spiritual growth. And it is the internal individual revelations to the soul, that internal revealing of God to the human soul, they would say, that is what lies at the center of our growing spirits, and hence is the essence of religious life. What else? Secondary revelations come from external sources. Where? Hedge says primarily the church. The church is the place where direct individual experiences are kept and sorted out and passed along to others. Now, I know and I've heard that this sort of talk makes some of us nervous. Revelation, spirit, God, church, all words that we're not particularly comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with all of them either. I'm much more at home with measurables like speed and mass and time, and even less secure, the less secure yet still numerical concepts with like energy and entropy don't particularly bother me at night. The trouble is that the immeasurables like love and spirit and my face before I was born, trouble is that these so far cannot be put in the laboratory and examined so that we can predict how they will act or change or die. So we go on with our lives. We patiently or impatiently wait for revelation, whatever that may mean. Some think it comes every night when they dream. Some look for it on long meditation retreats. Many claim that they find some of it when they take chemicals, some drugs into their bodies. Others have visions without chemical aid. Where does our fragile, open-hearted, yet doubting religion take its stand? I'll tell you. Our living tradition draws from many sources. Note, first we say that it's a living tradition. That's another way of saying revelation is not sealed. We say that we look to a variety of sources. Joan has offered to read my comments about our sources.
I'll
be back.
Good. Our sources are to us what the Bible has been and still is to many Christians. We look to prophets, or as we put it, to words and deeds of prophetic women and men, but we leave it open to people in modern times. Or to put it slightly differently, we use this source for direction as to how to live in this world of good and evil. We find in our prophets a place and a base for our ethical stances. We also take guidance for ethical life decisions from the great world religions such as Buddhism, and there we also find guidance for our spiritual lives, practices that have helped many find their own internal revelations. Many choose to meditate and center and focus. What else? We mention our Jewish and Christian roots and say that this source for us is the one that is most closely tied to the unmeasurable thing we call love, love of self, others, and the immeasurable Creator. We also look to our own reason and its flower, science, and to the many earth-centered traditions that point us back to the planet where we live. But the first of all of our sources is our own direct experience. Just where Hedge and the Transcendentalists would have put it, the internal revelations, surely immeasurable, but which we take as most central and essential. We claim that there is direct experience, direct personal experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, that unnameable that has too many names, that is affirmed in all cultures, and is that which moves us to a renewal of the spirit, that pervasive sense of the holy, which is the essence of the religious life. And moreover, this is what renews our spirits and opens us to the forces which create and uphold life. That's our first source.
Good way to start, isn't it? Well, how could we have said that? How could we have said that and not be out on the streets telling our friends and strangers? Were we all out of the room when that was written down as a first source? Do you believe that that is the place to go for your Unitarian beliefs? That first of all of our many sources is direct experience. It's amazing. And you know, it's scientific too. Direct experience of the immeasurable. What a challenge. And what a freedom. What other religion dares tell its followers to go it alone? To go it alone, but it's okay to look at all the other religions and listen to the prophets living and dead and still say, it's up to you. We are given and burdened with this great freedom. It's almost too much freedom, because with it comes the responsibility to use it, or as the saying goes, lose it. It would be much easier if we could be like the animals, like my dog Casey, and live each moment as it comes. It would be much easier to be a fundamentalist and take as eternal truth all that these people are told to accept. Just believe and you will have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. But I can do neither, and so I'm a Unitarian burdened with the freedom to find my own beliefs. It's a hard way if we take it seriously, very hard. Our non-creedal way offers us a chance for change, a chance that root-bound religions don't offer. Often our open-mindedness attracts seekers at the vanguard of religion, such as the neo-pagans, or people who are drawn partway toward Eastern religions but still want something else, or women who have been denied leadership in traditional denominations, and those whose sexual orientation is still persecuted most anywhere else. We are havens for all these, and in a more in the very difficult and tough world. In order to manage our freedom, we have had to abandon the notion of a creed. I always wondered why that, but we have to abandon the idea of having a creed. So what do we have? We offer a covenant in place of a creed. Again, something that was not available until the 1980s. Our Unitarian principles, found in the front of your hymnals, a fine basis for ethics, spell out what we are willing to promise one another and what we will work for in the world. A growing covenant that is able to meet the changes going on in these turbulent times. But be clear, that's not a substitute for a creed. When you're asked what you believe, don't tell them how we ideally act toward others. Don't tell them what our principles are. Don't even tell them what we value. Chances are what they value is pretty much what we value. Though we may value some things more and less than they do. When you're asked what you believe, respond to their question in language that you will be understood. Tell them that you believe that revelation is not sealed, that we honor the Bible and also truth and wisdom and guidance from the great religions. You might mention that we believe that what has been discovered through our reason and science and our love of interconnected natural world. Chances are they also believe much of this, but may not have tied it to their sense of revealed truth. When you're asked what you believe, tell them what you personally and what you cannot believe. The Trinity, and even that is okay with a few of your Unitarian friends, because we hold that each of us is given in our lives moments of personal insights, revelations, if you will, that are impossible for us to deny. I believe with the majority of UU ministers that there exists a pervasive sense of the holy. All of this contributes to an underlying sense of trust and what, for lack of a better word, is the trust is the holy. Individual revelations come to poets, writers, musicians, artists, all the time. Just think, Mozart inspired instruction to Salieri for his Requiem Mass. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah Chorus, the revelations of the Quran via Muhammad, Gandhi's inspired guidance for India's independence, the Dalai Lama's revered leadership. There are thousands of others. Revelations come to all who write and get stuck and wait for missing transition, as I had done in most every sermon I preached over the years. You go to a point, you get stuck, and you wait, or you take a walk with your dog or something, and an answer appears every time, as for me. Often I'd take a walk and scribble down an idea like in dream work, where you have your pencil and your pad of paper right next to you and jot down something that you probably can't understand a week after, but it's one of your dream moments of revelation. During moments of peace, when I stop and let go and wait for the answer from the unknown. Moments of peace when I didn't know what to do with a particular situation in seminary. And I had a big test coming up right after that, and I thought, I just let go, I just give. What comes is fine. And so I went out for a run. I used to do a lot of running, maybe an hour or so. And I was quite peaceful when I came back. It was just lovely. The answers come in dreams or in peace or in something you write. Perhaps moments of writing a poem like Steller's Jay. All of these cases of revelation are part of our lives, and we can trust them or not. I think trusting them has opened up thousands of days and times of challenge to looking for answers. Anyway, revelation is not sealed. It goes on and on. So if you feel pretty much about what I've said, and if they do, then perhaps a very helpful member of some Unitarian congregation will point out to you, well, why don't you come and see us here in this small but special gathering of your Unitarian friends. Somebody will be happy to help you and to show you how to get connected. So, here we are. It's a great opportunity, and we're the guardians of this wonderful opportunity that is open to such a small, we are such a small bit of modern religion that many places don't even recognize that we're part of it, our church. But here we are with these wonderful freedoms and responsibilities. And if they feel much the same way about what revelation is, and invite them to come here to this small but special gathering of your Unitarian friends. Amen.